T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to Focus on the Upstate, a program dedicated to informing you about organizations that serve our community and how you can get involved with them. Here's your host, Chris Evans.
Good morning and welcome to Focus on the Upstate. My name is Chris Evans. Today, my guest is Heather Knipe, a public affairs volunteer with the Upstate South Carolina chapter of the American Red Cross. Good morning, Heather.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you very much for being here. The American Red Cross, I mean, you guys... Everybody knows the Red Cross. You guys are on TV. You show up in the worst places. I mean, like, just terrible things are happening, and you guys are there.
Yes, so, we are always there.
Yeah, you are always there, and so I'm guessing that people are going to recognize the name American Red Cross. But I'm still going to start with my favorite opening question, which is, what do you do, and who do you do it for? Introduce yourself to the listeners. Tell us about the American Red Cross.
All right. So I started volunteering with the Red Cross about 5 years ago now.
Okay.
And they haven't been able to get rid of me yet. What is amazing to me is I volunteered because I saw all these weather patterns were changing,
right,
and we had
yeah.
more and more disasters occurring. And I thought, well, this is the time to get involved. And so I thought I'd be deployed immediately to all these different big disasters.
Right.
And my first interaction was really to go to a house fire just 15 minutes away from my own home.
Wow.
And my first client was actually an acquaintance of mine. And so I've been hooked ever since. You know, you realize that disasters happen every day. They're
yeah.
not necessarily the big hurricanes all the time.
Well, those are the ones that get all the press coverage. You know, just recently we've had a big storm across the south, and there's tornadoes and I mean— communities,
right.
whole communities devastated. And those are the ones that get a lot of press coverage when a big hurricane comes through or something. And we're going to talk about the hurricane that came through 6 months ago or so. But those are the ones that really get paid attention to. But
right.
but the local house fire, I mean, maybe it makes the evening news in your community, but it doesn't turn into a big story.
That's right. Home fires actually kill more people in the United States than all other natural disasters combined.
Wow.
And every day we lose 7 people in a home fire.
Wow.
So in South Carolina alone, we respond, the Red Cross responds every 4 hours to a house fire.
Now, it's easy to think conceptually, you know, if I had a house fire, I'd just get out of the house. But people don't do that. Why are people dying in house fires?
Well, there are a variety of reasons. One is they don't realize that it takes less than 2 minutes many times.
Mm.
You have less than 2 minutes to get out.
Gotcha.
And it's not necessarily the flames that are going to kill you. It's
right.
the smoke. The smoke is very
right.
deadly.
We've heard this before from other guests that it's the smoke inhalation, because you're being deprived of oxygen and you just pass out. It's not that the flames get you. It's that you just run out of air and fall asleep effectively.
And it's really not even the lack of air, it's the toxicity.
Okay.
And that is why firefighters now have to wear the respirators mm-hmm. every time they go in. They used to not have to do
yeah.
that. But because of the materials that
yes.
our furniture is made of and everything else in our home, there is a lot of petroleum-based products in our homes today,
mm-hmm.
and it creates a very toxic smoke. And that's why you have less than 2 minutes to get out, because you'll die
yeah,
from the smoke
yeah.
first.
Well, and I guess that's also why they tell you to get down on the ground, so that you're underneath that haze of smoke as it's rising.
That's right. And actually, the most toxic smoke is above you as well as right at the ground. And
okay.
that's why they tell you to be on all fours when
okay.
you're leaving your home, because the safest air is right in that sweet spot when you're on all fours.
Gotcha.
So even the air below you when you're on your all fours is very, very toxic.
And you said you your first disaster that you responded to was right near your home. Pardon the pun, but that's got to hit close to home.
I was shocked. There were several homes destroyed.
Wow.
And the gentleman that I knew, I could tell that he was in shock only because I knew him from beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that what an impact I could make by being with the Red Cross. I was handing stuffed animals to little children and handing out money on the spot, on scene, so that they could go get a warm place to stay and take care of their family overnight while they try to figure out what their next move was. It was real important.
Well, and that's one of the unpredictable things about fire, or one of the, I guess, notable things about fire is its unpredictability, that it can spread. You know, in, I mean, you hear, for example, that they've had to fire at an apartment complex, you know, and if it's a single building, that might be 4, 6, or even 8 apartments that have been damaged by the fire. But if it didn't spread to another building, it's kind of localized. But it can. That's the thing. I mean, it can affect so many different buildings, even jump from house to house.
That's right. You could be doing everything right and lose your home at a moment's notice. So it's important to always be prepared. And that's one thing we work with people on. We want you to be prepared. We want you to practice an escape plan. Because I got to tell you, if you've ever been in a fire, you know that that smoke, even in the middle of the day, can make your house pitch black and you can't see your way out. You're panicked, which always changes everybody's behavior and ability to react appropriately. And so we want muscle memory to get you out of that home alive.
Yeah.
And the only way to do that is to practice, practice, practice. Make sure your children understand what the sound of that alarm sounds like, because that can be very frightening.
Sure.
You don't want your children to hide because they're scared. You want them to get out and do something about it. Practice, practice, practice.
Yeah.
Have that ladder to get you down out of a second or third story window and practice. They're not easy to climb down. And again, children could get scared and not want to use it if they have not practiced.
Yeah.
So practice is important. Having a meeting spot away from your home, far enough away that's safe, that you can all meet, to know that everybody's accounted for, so that no one is going back in that home to find somebody that's already out.
Right.
So important, you know, having a an emergency kit to grab with you, having a pillowcase in case you have cats in there so you can grab the cat in a pillowcase to get them out. Lots of little tips and tricks that we can share with families. So that's,
well, and
you can tell it's my soapbox.
No, absolutely, absolutely. And I'm glad to hear it, because it is such an important thing. There's so many things there to talk about. You mentioned earlier, you've got 2 minutes to get out, which seems, I don't know, in one sense, it seems like it's long enough. That's long enough to get out, to actually get out of the house. But people underestimate the amount of time that they have. They'll go back for pictures or, you know, things that are valuable. They want to get some clothes, or they want to, you know, they want to make sure they have their keys or something. You've got to focus on getting out of the house.
That's right. Everything else can be replaced. And you can always form new memories, but not if you're dead.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Well, and then the other thing is that you've got to have, you got to think about what to do after you get out of the house. Like you mentioned, have a meeting place. Make sure that you've got an emergency kit or something that you can get to that you can survive on, you know, just in in the interim. I am rather lucky. My house is situated right between two fire departments. And I hear the sirens all the time. And so I'm hoping that if we ever had that kind of a situation, I wouldn't have to wait too long for response, but still probably going to be longer than 2 minutes.
That's right.
And the advice that I've gotten from firefighters is call 911, even if you think you have a fire under control. You still need to call, because it can very quickly, like you said, get out of control with all of the materials that we have in houses these days.
That's right. And you can put out a fire and not realize that it's also in your walls.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And, a few hours later, all of a sudden, you've got a much bigger problem.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't. I know that the fire departments would not mind coming out knowing that you're
absolutely
safe.
And that's what they tell me is that it doesn't cost anything to call them. It doesn't cost anything to have them come out. They would just want to make sure that you're safe.
That's right.
The other thing is I actually have experienced that. I wasn't in the house at the time, but I had a house fire occur to me. It was not devastating as house fires go, but it was damaged. There was damage. And I learned two things from that. Number one, have a fire extinguisher. You need to have at least one fire extinguisher in your house.
Yes.
And it matters where you put them.
That's right. You need one on every level of your home, because that fire is not necessarily always going to start in your kitchen, right?
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of kitchens, you want to make sure that fire extinguisher is not under your kitchen sink or right next to your stove where most people put it. Because if you have a kitchen fire, they spread very quickly and you may not be able to grab it from that location.
You can't reach it because it's too hot.
That's right. So have it just outside your kitchen in a convenient location so that anybody in the house can reach it and use it. And you've got to practice using those as well. Mm-hmm. In a panic, you may be clutching that the squeeze handle.
Right.
And you can't get the pin out if you're squeezing it because you're panicked. Yep. So you need to go get a $20 fire extinguisher and practice with your family. Empty it.
And here's an interesting point. Where do you get a fire extinguisher?
Home Depot, Lowe's, any of the big box retailers will have them. And yep. you can also call your local fire department and they will tell you where you can go to get the proper one for your needs.
See, it's interesting enough because people who regularly go to Home Depot or Lowe's or Walmart or, you know, things like that, mm-hmm. they're not going to shop for a fire extinguisher. They're going to shop for, you know, building supplies or clothing or whatever, you know, wherever they have gone.
Yep.
But chances are they also sell fire extinguishers.
They've got
them. You can get them. And you need to make sure that you have one, at least one.
And you've got to know how to use it or it will do you no
yep.
good.
Yep. The other thing that I learned from that experience is the importance of having renter's insurance.
Absolutely.
And because a lot of people don't know this, they think that the house is insured by the owner, and it probably is. And even by the, you know, if there's a professional agency that's renting it out, they may have their own insurance on it, but that doesn't cover you as the tenant.
That's correct. It only covers their losses.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing that you own will be covered by a landlord's policies.
And renter's insurance is ridiculously cheap.
$100 a year?
It is not expensive at all. It is absolutely not an expense that you can do without.
That's right.
Just for emergencies like that. It is very, very important to have that. And that's another thing that the Red Cross does is you help people put their lives back together after a disaster like that.
That's right. Number one, we buy them time. We can activate a credit card on scene so that they have enough money for a few days so that they can buy a few clothes. They can
get
some meals, get a hotel room. Basically, you know, it fills the gap because your insurance company may not be able to be reached
right.
until for a few days
sure.
or maybe not be able to get a check to you.
Yeah.
And if you don't have an insurance company, at least you can regroup and we can help you know which agencies to call to get some assistance to help start replacing things. It gives you time to call your child's school to rearrange transportation. There are a lot of things that need to be done after a fire. We give our clients a booklet that helps them think about what they need to do next and to keep track of their expenses. Another thing that people don't realize is you've got to keep a list of your medications.
Yeah.
Think of elderly folks that are on
sure.
lots of medications. And if we don't know what you're on when you get to the hospital or have to refill something, we don't know what to help you refill.
They know they take one out of the big blue bottle and two out of the little green bottle. And
right.
And,
so and very helpful to keep that list in your car,
sure.
in your glove box, and also maybe give it to a child or a family friend so that they have it and know in case you need to get to that. But we also do have nurses and doctors as well as healthcare mental health professionals that volunteer and are always available 24 hours a day as well to help us when we go out to those disasters and those house fires in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
So rest assured, we're going to help you one way or another, but it really helps us to help you to have that information.
And you guys are available to help people who are in that situation who have had a fire, but I imagine you would prefer that people not have a fire in the first place.
We would love to get on the other side of that
yes,
fire. Yes.
Let's talk about prevention. What can people do to prevent fires in their homes from even starting?
The single most important thing you can do is have working smoke alarms.
Okay.
On every level of your home, in every sleeping area or potential sleeping area.
Okay.
And even the fire departments will agree with me that
yes.
it will cut your risk in half from dying in a fire to have working smoke alarms in your home.
In fact, I just had to replace the battery in one of my smoke alarms in my house because it was chirping in the middle of the night.
That's right. That's a sign.
Yep. My wife got me up and she said, I'm not going to be able to sleep through that. You got to go change it right now. And I said, okay, I'll do that.
Yes. And, you know, they even make bed shaker alarms that
oh, really?
If you're
wow.
deaf and can't hear an alarm, your bed can shake to wake you up to
oh.
let you know there's a fire. So there are a lot of options out there. And you can call the Red Cross to talk to them about that. You can also call your local fire department and they can give you resources to get those alarms.
You know, it's interesting because I had never thought about it. I don't want to uh-huh. derail you, but working in radio, one of the things that you learn is that our phones don't ring with a sound. They are wired to a light so that when the phone rings, it's not on the air. You know, obviously we've got the mic open and we're saying something on the air. Mm-hmm. You've got to have some other sort of signal. I never thought about deaf people. They're not going to be able to hear that smoke
right.
alarm.
There's a lot of handicaps out there
yeah.
that are affected by home fires. And so One of the programs that we do that is so near and dear to my heart are these Sound the Alarm events.
Okay.
The Red Cross started a campaign in 2014 to help reduce the risk of injury and death from fires by helping to install smoke alarms. And so we write the grants, we buy all these smoke alarms, and we partner with our local fire departments to get these alarms installed and to educate people in the homes while we're installing the alarms about fire safety.
You got one of these coming up soon.
We do. We have a huge one coming up on May 11th, and people can actually sign up to volunteer and help with these events. We always need a lot of people to help. And to sign up for an appointment, you can go to soundthealarm.org/SC for South Carolina, and you can register to volunteer for the event, and you will save a life. I mean, it's an amazing use of time on a Saturday morning. You can also go to soundthealarm.org to sign up and request alarms be installed in your home. So anyway, but these are very important, and I would certainly love to have everyone help out.
Good. And that's going to be happening in Spartanburg? Is that right?
That one is in Spartanburg, yes. But you can have them installed in your homes anywhere.
Right. It's not exclusive. Again, I've had officials from the Greenville Fire Department on, and they will come out and install smoke alarms. And you said that's frequently coming from the Red Cross. You guys have either provided them with the equipment or funded something through a grant. So you're kind of behind the scenes making sure all this happens.
We are. Fire departments can sign up with us to get free alarms from us so that they can offer them out to the public at any time. So if you know somebody that needs an alarm, call the Red Cross. Go to soundthealarm.org and sign up to request alarms, maybe for your neighborhood, maybe for your own home. You can also, I love it when people have birthdays coming up. Instead of asking for gifts, why don't you ask people to donate to the Sound the Alarm campaign to help save lives? It's just $15 per alarm. And you can raise some money, have your own event, and help out a lot of people.
And it's a great idea. I'd never really thought of that, making a gift. Instead of giving them a gift card that they may or may not ever use, make a donation to the Red Cross so that you guys can keep helping people. Any other ways that people can make donations? Since we're on the topic, I'm guessing go to redcross.org is probably
Absolutely.
The best way.
But, we always need volunteers for all the different disasters we respond to. So you can become a volunteer. You can give blood. You can learn a life-saving skill just by signing up for a class. Learn first aid, learn CPR, and other life-saving opportunities there. Or you can make a financial donation. So if you don't have the money, you can give of your time.
Yeah.
And you never know where that's going to lead to help somebody down the road.
So volunteer opportunities, donation opportunities at redcross.org. Fair to say, though, that tending to fires, house fires and people who have been affected by them is not nearly the only thing the Red Cross does. And one of the reasons that you're here to talk about that is because March is National American Red Cross Awareness Month.
It is. And do you know this was first proclaimed Red Cross Month in 1943 by President Franklin D. Roosevelt?
Wow.
And every president since then has designated March as Red Cross Month just to make people aware of what we do and to recognize our volunteers. Do you know our workforce is 90% volunteer?
I did not know that, but it doesn't surprise me. You guys are so staffed by volunteers. I mean, you have so many. You yourself are a volunteer.
That's right. And I absolutely love it. This satisfies my personality's need to go out and save the world. So I can do this after hours and on weekends and feel like I've done something.
And I volunteered for a few causes before, too. And there really is just a sense of satisfaction that comes with doing that kind of thing and helping out in your community and helping people get the help that they need, whatever it is.
Because you never know when it's your turn to need that help
exactly.
as well. If you have a servant's heart, we need you.
Yeah, yeah. So talking about Awareness Month for the Red Cross being March, what are some of the other things that the Red Cross does?
Well, blood donation is a big part
you
of
mentioned,
that.
Yeah.
We provide nearly half of the nation's blood.
Wow.
And so that's a big deal. And we also have pillowcase projects for school children. And we teach them how to create an escape plan and emergency preparedness kits, how to prepare them with something as simple as a pillowcase. And a lot of times they will go home and educate their families on how to get out of their house in a fire. They'll bring home and work with them to prepare their own escape plan. And children have saved their families' lives from these these programs. They're wonderful. And we also have free youth preparedness programs and for that reason, of various types. Do you know that we've saved 54 lives in South Carolina since we started this home
54.
Fire campaign?
Really?
Yeah.
That is impressive.
Yeah.
And it's amazing because you hear these stories every once in a while of, you know, obviously you're not teaching dogs to save people from fires, but, you know, the family dog or cat, you know, wakes up the family because there's a fire, there's an emergency and they need to get out.
That's
We've
right.
heard young children, you know, as young as three calling 911 because something has happened to mom or dad, whether it's a fire or an accident at home or things like that. So it's really, and I have young kids of my own, and it's really impressive how much they know and how much they can learn and how responsible they can be when given the opportunity.
Absolutely. Don't underestimate the power of a child ever.
Yeah.
And on March 27th, we've designated that as Red Cross Giving Day.
Red Cross Giving Day. Ooh.
So of the things I've mentioned, you know, get together with your family. What a great opportunity to spend time together and to do something to help other families in the country. You know, volunteer, go take a class together or sign up for a class.
Absolutely.
Give
Again,
blood.
Those classes you can find at redcross.org.
That's right.
Imagine.
And redcross.org/SC to find ones
right.
closer to home. But yes. And do you know that all the money that's donated stays in our community?
Well, and that's good because I know a lot of people, especially with a national organization like the Red Cross, are concerned about making a donation because it's not going to go to their local community. But here it does.
Right. We always honor donor intent. So if you want to support a hurricane in another state or wildfires, you can do that. And that
sure.
money will go wherever you intend for it to go. But if you don't, when you go, for instance, online, it prompts you for your zip code. And that tells them that that money is to stay within that chapter's area
okay.
that's associated with your zip
Just
code.
Just by default.
That's correct.
Okay. Fantastic. Well, and you mentioned, you know, other disaster relief. We've talked about the house fires. We've talked about blood donation. But you do show up for the big disasters. I know we just had a big hurricane roll through here. I think the last time I talked to you, we had just experienced Hurricane Michael. Kind of in the middle part of the state, there was, tremendous flooding down there.
Oh, so much water.
And I know that that recovery effort took a long time. Is it still ongoing? Have you finished at this point, you know?
You know, a lot of these disasters go on for quite a while.
I know.
People don't realize that it's years that we're working
yeah.
with these communities. In many cases, we're still working with Hurricane Maria victims. It goes on and on because long after the TV cameras leave,
yes.
you know, people have real issues. They have mold and mildew they're dealing with. They have homes to rebuild. They have lives to rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are working behind the scenes more than people realize. And we partner with lots of agencies to help make that happen. We
yeah.
can't do it alone. And so that's why we are always welcoming other agencies to help and other people to volunteer
yeah.
to give us their skills.
Well, and we've even seen disasters like that on that scale that change the landscape. I mean, they'll have rivers rerouted, you know, or something from the flooding, or entire neighborhoods that never get rebuilt that become something else. You know, that kind of effect can be felt by those big disasters, and that's why an organization like the Red Cross exists, is to put things right after they've gone wrong.
That's right. And you know, because we are not a government agency, we receive, you know, very little funding from any
right.
source like that. So we depend
from either the
on
state
the generosity
or the, yeah.
of individuals, companies, and donors in general. So every penny counts, and with as many disasters as we see now, which seem to be increasing,
yeah.
it's needed more than ever to help. And when we provide assistance, it's free to everyone. We do not charge for any of our services if somebody needs help. And it doesn't matter who you are or where you are. You know that the Red Cross will be there to help you.
So again, redcross.org/SC. You can find information about volunteering. Because you guys always need volunteers. You can find information about donating because you always need donations. And there's also soundthealarm.org if you want to get involved with that and make sure that people have working smoke alarms in their houses. Anything else that I've forgotten to mention?
You know, thank you so much for mentioning this. If people want to learn more, the Upstate Chapter's phone number is 271-8222. And we would love to talk to you about some other opportunities. You know, we work with military families. We Of course, the international aid, we work around the world on different types of disasters. If you speak Spanish or any other language fluently, you could be very helpful to us. So no matter what your skill set, we can certainly use you and would love to have you on our teams.
And that number again?
864-271-8222.
864-271-8222. Heather Kneipp, public affairs volunteer for the Upstate South Carolina chapter of the American Red Cross, has been my guest today. Thank you very much for being here, Heather.
Thank you, Chris.
It's been my pleasure. I'm Chris Evans, and this has been Focus on the Upstate.
You've been listening to Focus on the Upstate with Chris Evans. If you would like more information on today's topic, email Chris at cevans@intercom.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.